We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Vern Davis. I am your host of Plant Profits. My next guest represents a PR firm that oversees really the strategic direction of their award-winning cannabis programs, focused with every aspect of the cannabis industry. Their clients are coming from all places in cannabis: MSOs, cultivators, processors, retailers, law firms, regulator, experts. They're all over the cannabis industry. They're very influential. They're friends of this show. My guest today is Mr. Jordan Eisenstadt, Senior VP at Marino PR in New York. Jordan, how are you, man?
Hey, Vern, how are you? Good to see you. Thanks for that intro. Appreciate you and all you do. Doing well. Coming live from New York City, so doing well.
Absolutely. You sound live from New York City, man. You have been great to us. Obviously, some of your clients have been on our show, and we are very appreciative of that. And Plant Profits is really put together and sponsored by Produce Global and Cannabis Radio, and we're very appreciative of what you guys have done. And I thought it'd be a great idea to have you on the show, because what you do is so important, because what your clients do is so important to the cannabis industry, about the things that they do, how people see them. All of that is very, very, very important in the industry. And so I really wanted to dive into that. Now, you are the VP, a senior VP at Marino PR. So let's talk about, let's do this. Let's let everybody kind of get a feel of how a guy like you can get to a place where you start a vertical of cannabis for a PR firm in New York City. Okay, because that's what you did. You began this thing.
You started
a couple years ago, and you convinced some crazy person at Marino that it could happen. So kind of what made you think you could do that? What in your background made you think you could do that?
Yeah, it's been a journey to get to this point, and certainly a dream come true in a way, though I don't think I knew it was a dream until it was actually happening. But I started my career a little over 20 years ago. I had graduated from college with a degree in political science and sociology. I went right into working in government, working on sort of regulatory issues, and really got engaged in sort of the public political process. Okay. That was fun for 5 or 6 years. I actually did touch cannabis then at one point. One of the senators that I worked for introduced the first cannabis legalization bill in New York. It did not pass for about 15 years, but I feel like I touched it. I then started getting more into the communications side of the work. I was at a PR firm called Edelman for a little while, focused really kind of my craft on learning more about PR and about professional PR. Then went back to government for a while. And really what struck me about that experience in government, because I worked for Governor Eliot Spitzer, I don't know if your audience is familiar with Governor Spitzer, but he was a governor in New York, 2007, 2008. He came in really strong, went down in a prostitution scandal. I was part of the staff, and we were all, impacted by it. We all believed in government. We all believed in the process. And, I have a lot of kind of crisis comm stories to tell from that, but ended up getting out of government and really never going back, and really sort of looking at the private sector and business and figuring out how could I, do something that, really creates change, but from the outside, because I realized that from the inside wasn't really going to work for me. So fast forward to about 7 years ago, I landed at Marino. I was working on a totally different file, was higher education and organized labor, actually, which are clients that I do still work with. But I said, you know what? Cannabis is coming to legal cannabis is coming to New York. The medical right. cannabis industry had just gotten propped up, and I learned what an MSO was. I started to educate myself. I was a personal consumer, but never really, you know, I hadn't really thought, how can I bring this into my professional life? And it just kind of happened, and it just kind of manifested it. So I think really the main point of this is that I manifested it, and I was able to convince leadership here, John Marino and Frank Marino, to take a chance and let me start to investigate this sector, which, you know, at that point, 2016, 2017, some people had been in it for a decade already. But at this point, I'm kind of an OG, having been in the space for about 6.5 years. So we started the practice in about 2017. Mm-hmm. We got a big client kind of right off the bat, one of the MSOs, and we learned a ton just from that work for about 2 years. And then we started to leverage that work and diversify. And we now have, you know, dozens of cannabis clients, everything from, you know, like you said before, from the operators to the cultivators, to the retailers, to the experts kind of from outside of the industry. We work with a lot of cannabis tech companies now. So right. it's been a really fascinating opportunity to learn about this industry and make it happen. And I mean, and that's what I've frankly learned with most people in this industry that I meet. Most people are just making it happen. You know, we're literally building the plane while we're flying it. And so everyone is entrepreneurial in this space. And it's been wonderful for me as a business professional, because I discovered things about myself that I never knew about before. I wasn't as entrepreneurial before. You know, I've gotten really entrepreneurial in the last 7 years.
What's right today is wrong tomorrow. Yes,
that's right.
That's cannabis, right?
That's right. That's right. Always changing.
always changing. That's quite interesting. What are some of the interesting challenges is running PR for cannabis, for the cannabis vertical? What are some of the interesting PR things that have evolved over the last couple of years in New York City that has made your job challenging, rewarding, et cetera?
Yeah. So just to be clear also, we do have a very strong New York practice, but we do work with cannabis companies that are kind of non-agnostic or that are agnostic to states. And then we do also work with some MSOs that are in multiple states. So while a chunk of our work is in New York, and we are very much on top of New York and the policy and everything that's going on here, which I'm happy to get into shortly, we do cross state lines. Essentially, and we've even done some work globally. But to your question about the challenges, I mean, the biggest challenge with cannabis PR, which I suppose is also the biggest opportunity, is that cannabis companies cannot market and advertise themselves the way that any other business in America or the world can. They cannot use social media in the same way, you know, and that all has to do with banking issues, which I know you've discussed on the show. And maybe when safer banking actually passes, we'll be in a position. Yes, safer now. We'll be in a different position. But right now, there are huge regulatory hurdles when it comes to marketing and advertising for cannabis brands. So that's why what we often talk about when we're, you know, prospecting for new clients or just, you know, pitching new clients is about the fact that you need a really strong PR plan and strategy and approach. And if you don't, you're missing a huge opportunity, because cannabis consumers are looking for an authentic brand and they want to learn about it. And, you know, most cannabis consumers learn about brands right from the bud tender, or they just know them by reputation. Because they're not going to learn about them through advertising. They're not going to learn about them through social media. They're not going to learn about them through the normal means that people learn about the places and that they frequent or the things that they do. So that's why a really strong PR plan and PR team is really necessary, because that earned media story, which is what PR is, it's what we call earned media, becomes so incredibly essential.
Sure. Hey, give me an example of success story. Because I was talking about New York, but I know you represent folks that own brands that
that go across the whole nation, right? And the whole legal marketplace. But what's something that, you know, you come back home in the evening and you say, that was good, right? We did good today. What is that? What does that look like? Yeah.
So now I will talk about one of our New York clients, okay. and hopefully there'll be a future guest on the show.
Okay.
But Beacon Skiff and Heirloom are Beacon Skiff is a New York brand. It's actually a 110-year-old apple orchard based in upstate New York. And so, you know, they've been voted the most popular apple orchard in upstate New York for decades. About 20 years ago, seeing that, you know, the apple picking business isn't, you know, kind of keep the farm for the next generation, they started making ciders, and they started making hard ciders because, you know, they had all these extra apples, right? So they started making ciders. Then they got into the spirit business. And so they started making various types of spirits, and they're all inspired by apples, you know, Honeycrisp vodka and things like that. And so they really got into the alcohol business and the bottling, you know, business. And then about 5 years ago, they got a hemp license, and they were one of the pioneers in New York growing CBD products. So that was around the time that we met Beacon Skiff, because at that time that was really the entity. It was Beacon Skiff and Beacon Skiff Research. And so basically right from the bat, we started pitching this, you know, family-owned apple orchard that, you know, had pivoted and pivoted again. And at the time, they were planning to pivot into legal cannabis as well. We just weren't there yet in New York. So we pitched all these amazing stories that landed in, you know, national publications, New York-based publications, about how this family-owned brand was sort of reinventing itself constantly, sort of every new generation. They're on the fifth generation of Beaks and Skiffs, who own the farm. And so they keep on reinventing themselves. And so we were sending ciders and the CBD products. We had a pretty aggressive gifting program as well. We were gifting to media and other influencers. And so, you know, you started to see about 2.5-3 years ago, when we started to work with them, you started to see more, you know, brand awareness of Beacon Skiff. You started to see more reviews about their ciders. Influencers started to, you know, do these unpacking of these great boxes of CBD products that they were sending. And so we really helped kind of put them on the map outside of the apple picking, which they were very much on the map for that. Then about a year and a half ago, when they got their conditional cultivation license, they started growing cannabis, and their brand was Heirloom, Heirloom, which touches on heirloom apples. Mm-hmm. So it's a fun kind of play on words. And they dug into their strength, which is beverages. They had, you know, this large bottling facility for CBD beverages and alcoholic beverages. They built the largest THC bottling facility on the East Coast. And so again, very, very newsworthy. You know, we got a lot of press for both the construction of that that facility, the rollout of their products. Their products were some of the first ones on the shelves in New York, and they continue to innovate and kind of push the envelope. They just released a Honeycrisp cannabis beverage, which is delicious. So if you're in New York, if you're, you know, checking out New York's legal market, you can buy their product on the shelves of our legal stores. But long story short, they are a great example of a New York brand that we have worked with, continue to grow with, and continue to sort of build their reputation. And soon they're going to be looking at other states as well. They're a really exciting and innovative brand, and a great, you know, kind of case study for us in terms of how they've grown with us and we've grown with them.
That's perfect. That's great. I tell you what, Jordan, we're going to take a quick break and come back, and we're going to dig into more of what you guys do at Merino PR. My guest today is Jordan Eisenstadt. And Jordan is a senior VP at Merino PR, and he has done some tremendous things in the cannabis. He is an OG, as he said before. I'm Byrne Davis. I'm your host of Plant Profits. Plant Profits is brought to you by Produce Global. We'll be right back after this break.
Plant Profits will return so our sponsors can profit from these messages.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Byrne Davis. I am your host of Plant Profits, and Plant Profits is brought to you by Produce Global. My guest today is Jordan Eisenstadt. He is the senior VP of Marina PR. He leads the cannabis effort from a PR perspective. Tremendous clientele. You know, before the break, we just heard a great story by one of his clients. And Jordan, I want to just pick up from that, right? From a technique and how you do things in PR, because you've done PR for less, I would say, regulated businesses, maybe, than cannabis. What are some of the things that you are finding that work? Now, I don't want you to give away the secret sauce, but what are that you find that really is working and is just really blocking that you now put in that folder called blocking and tackling I got to do for every client?
The fact that you can't advertise, I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, really, right. You know, it does create this need for some kind of alternative marketing mix, right? Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to PR, the two things that we're doing most with our clients in terms of the messaging is humanizing them, because people look at cannabis and they don't necessarily see that this is actually a human-driven industry. It's a product for humans. Humans work at MSOs. Humans are coming up with all these kind of creative ideas and creative platforms. So we are often seeking to humanize our clients, give a little peek behind the curtain. What problem are they solving? Stuff like that. The other thing that we're often really focused on is the destigmatization and normalization of cannabis. Because as you know, Vern, there's so much misinformation out there about cannabis. And it's our responsibility, I think, as a PR shop, but also, you know, and we use our clients sort of as the messenger. But, you know, we can help be a vehicle for driving, you know, correct information about this sector. So, you know, whether that is about, you know, the people who work there or the types of products that they're making or the impacts and effects that it will have on your body, or, you know, there's a lot of discussions about, you know, cannabis and minors, cannabis and driving, you know, there's lots of controversial topics here. And oftentimes our clients are sort of serving as you know, a voice to sure. to sort of clarify, you know, some of these ongoing debates.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I totally believe that is the case. And as you work and you look at the community and the normalization and the destigmatization, let me get it out, the industry, and you're working to do that, if you're getting a lot of pushback from the community in the cannabis community about doing that, I would think people would think we're doing it too fast.
In the cannabis community that we're doing it too fast?
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely could see that perspective. I think there are also some people that would say we can't do it fast enough, because there's a lot of federal change that needs to happen. There's a lot of discussions right now about, you know, whether it's rescheduling or safer banking or whatever the case may be. And all these things, you know, could you have imagined this a decade ago? You know, so it's kind of remarkable how far we've come in the last, you know, 10 years. So it does feel like there's a sort of a rapid, you know, sort of destigmatization that is happening. The problem is that there are still significant pockets where there are, you know, where there's incorrect information about, you know, like I'm a parent, right? And so there's a lot of judgment about, you know, cannabis as a parent, you know, coming from, you know, the community that I live in. And so, you know, it's important to show that, you know, I'm a cannabis consumer, and I'm in the cannabis industry and a professional, and, you know, you as well, Vern, you know, it's like,
right,
professional, we're all professionals here. We're all trying to build this industry together. And so, you know, I think honestly that some of that destigmatization and normalization can't really come fast enough, because I think the train's already left the station.
I agree with you. And that's my, and I've had some shows that we talked about that. I've done some writing that I talk about that. The normalization is the key to everything. Actually, normalization really is going to help get some of this legislative stuff done, right? When people can walk out and see this is normal, right? The crime rate didn't go up, right?
Exactly.
The violent crime rate did not go up because this stuff is legal. Okay.
Yep.
So when something like rescheduling, who just came to the news not long ago, just recently, comes about, what do you advise your clients to do with that? When that makes news, we all hear about it kind of at the same time. You probably and your clients know it's coming, maybe before others, but then we all hear about it. How do you build on that with your clients?
Yep. So rescheduling would fall in what we would call kind of thought leadership, right? Because that's not our news, right? You know, I mean, a lot of the time what we're doing for our clients is either creating news from them or pushing out their news. They're opening a dispensary, they're launching a new product, whatever the case may be. With rescheduling, that falls in again, the thought leadership topic, which means how can we get our clients into a story on rescheduling? And so every client is different, right? So we have clients who are lawyers, and so they would get into the story as the legal expert. Because, you know, think about stories that you read, right? I mean, oftentimes, like, there's a legal expert, you know, maybe there's someone who's on the front lines, who's like a retailer who's going to be impacted. And then there's maybe someone who's, you know, on the tech side. I mean, I'm kind of just making up these buckets, but that's sometimes how media sort of thinks of these things. So that's how we think about things. How can we be a resource to media? How can our clients help kind of fill in the gaps with these stories? So again, we've got the, you know, some really bright legal minds in our clientele. So we'll pitch them as the legal experts. We have small business owners in New York, some of whom have just opened their store under the New York program or are hopefully going to be opening their stores soon, which we can get into at another time. But, you know, how are they going to be impacted by rescheduling? And, you know, we'll help write a statement or we'll, you know, talk about what it might be or get them on the phone with the reporter to talk about kind of how they're impacted on the ground. Another piece would be a client like Dutchie, which we work with. And they're a, you know, national payment, POS, e-commerce tech company. And so they're very unique in the space because they're across every state where there's legal cannabis.
And other countries.
And other countries, exactly. And so they have a huge, you know, stake in this, but also a lot of insight because they see what's going on in each dispensary. So they have a lot to say about rescheduling. They have a lot to say about safer banking. So, you know, what we do is we sort of package up all the experts who could speak on X topic. And then we go to the reporters and you know, again, like our job really is to have a synergistic relationship with the media. And so we need to feed the beast. That's what Frank Marino always says. We need to feed the beast. And so the way you feed the beast is you give them what they want. And that's why, you know, PR is one of those challenging kind of areas as a, you know, consultant for a lot of brands, because sometimes you have clients who want to feed the beast things that the beast doesn't care about, right? So that's part of what we do is we're in between. And so we say, this is what the beast actually needs right now. This is what they're interested in. They don't care about your launch. They care about your perspective on X. And sometimes those are the hard conversations that we have to have with our clients. That being said, you know, this is being recorded in late September. So the last month has been a banner month for cannabis, both nationally and then also in New York. I mean, there's been a ton of news that's going on. And so there's a lot for our clients to talk about and say.
Yeah, that's great for you. And that's great for your clients, because at the end of the day, they want to launch a product. They want to launch a store. They want to launch a state. The fact that you're putting them out front helps all of them. Helps all
exactly.
That's absolutely so important. I tell you what, Jordan, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be back. I'm Vern Davis. I am your host of Plant Profits, and Plant Profits is proudly brought to you by Produce Global. My guest today is Mr. Jordan Eisenstadt. He is the Senior VP at Marino PR. We're having fun. We'll be right back.
Plant Profits will return so our sponsors can profit from these messages.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Vern Davis. I'm your host of Plant Profits, and Plant Profits is proudly brought to you by Protus Global. Mr. Jordan Eisenstadt. Jordan is a senior VP at Merino PR. He's also a great friend of mine in the show. And Jordan is laying down some knowledge about what's happening in cannabis from the lens of PR. And I think that's critically important. And PR is such, Jordan, such an important part of accomplishing the overall objectives for the entire industry, right? And, you know, you're like, PR is like any other part of any other industry, right? PR for cannabis is some people do it well, some people don't do it so well. That is critically important. And it's very competitive. There's several of you out there in the same space, in the same very volatile space. And so how do you guys separate yourself from the competition?
Love that question. So part of what I think is our special sauce over here at Merino PR is that we have a team that specializes in cannabis, but the agency is actually much, much larger than that. So my team is myself and three others, but the agency is 60 people. So we're not one of the large, you know, crazy large PR firms. We're, you know, a mid-sized boutique PR firm. But about of those 60, 50 of them are publicists, 10 of them are digital strategists, and we have a real estate practice, a lifestyle practice, a public affairs practice, a corporate practice. So we have a ton of expertise in different areas. And to be honest, most of our clients, while they are looking for cannabis PR, most of them are also looking for mainstream PR. And so that could be they have, you know, they're more of a lifestyle brand. So we'll take someone from the lifestyle team and bring them over to our team for that assignment. You know, I mentioned we have some cannabis tech companies. We have some people who are sort of more tech and B2B specialists. We'll bring one of them over to our team. Or if the assignment's more on the regulatory side, we have people from public affairs who could come in. Point being, we have great talent at the agency and most of our teams are hybrid teams. So it's not sort of, you know, we're some of our, you know, competitors, they're great. I don't say anything negative about any of them. Sure. But they do, you know, some of them exclusively focus on cannabis PR, which I do think can be a little limiting. So I think part of the strength here is that we have a really sort of diverse cast of characters here with various knowledge. And so we can, you know, kind of build teams that are responsive to what, you know, what the assignment is. The other thing I would say too is that a lot of people at Merino come from government. And I think that helps a lot because anything in cannabis, even if it's just, even if it's a product, right? That's not even, maybe it's the accessory, you still care about the regulatory framework and the regulatory world. The policy still matters. So
that's,
I think,
very cool.
A lot of us have that government background, a political background. I think it helps us a ton. We have a campaign mindset in most of what we do.
That's a great point. One point you brought up there in the middle of that was the fact that you have different verticals in the business, and you guys are just, you're one of several. I love that because my company is structured that way. It's structured the same. We have different verticals. What I love about it is that the person in the vertical gets in the trees, excuse the pun, right? And you have an opportunity to associate very easily with folks who are looking at you from a distance and what you guys are doing. And you have to use that, right? You use that? I use that. I think that's important.
100%. Yeah, I mean, you need to, you know, we need to collaborate, right? So right. I think there's like a ton of opportunity for people with sort of, you know, different knowledge bases, different skill sets to come in and contribute. Definitely been something that's worked really, really well for us. And, you know, like I said, most of our teams are for, you know, our client teams are not just four of us. Oftentimes it's, you know, structured differently because, you know, this client's looking for tech PR, this client's looking for to be in women's magazines or whatever the case may be. And that's the other interesting thing too about cannabis PR too, is that most most clients come to us looking for mainstream media. And that, right, again, goes back to that normalization, right? It's so important that we get the average person reading about cannabis in, you know, whether it's like the New York Times or the local Sarasota paper or, you know, wherever you are, it's a topic that matters in your local paper because it's impacting your community in some way, shape, or form. And if you're ignoring it, you know, it's at your own risk.
Yeah, that's great. Let's get a little philosophical. What's your perspective on the current state of cannabis industry?
Nationally or locally?
Yeah, I want you to start nationally and then go to New York.
I mean, look, federal prohibition is the largest challenge. And I mean, everything that we're dealing with now with, you know, rescheduling and SAFE, I mean, we need to slowly, you know, break down these blocks. The problem is, my biggest concern about the future of this industry is that based on the way the system has been built, you're gonna now end up with dozens of states with legal cannabis markets that were kind of built into the state that are not really necessary, right? Because once you break down interstate commerce,
right,
then California has enough weed to, you know, satisfy the nation, you know? Like there's no need to grow cannabis in Florida. No offense to Florida, but
there's tons of redundancy. Yes.
There's so much redundancy in this system, and it's all because of federal prohibition. So that's my concern, is that you're going to have all these entrepreneurs in state markets that were like promised the world. And then in 10, 15, yeah, look, I don't think we're on the precipice of federal legalization either. I think it'll be a lot slower than people think, but it will happen hopefully within a decade. But that's my biggest concern, is that there's going to be a lot of disappointed, bankrupt people, communities that were really banking on cannabis. So, you know, we have a very long road to go, though. I'm happy about the incremental progress. We have a really, really long way to go.
Yeah. I hear you on that. I mean, so I was so excited when the rescheduling thing happened. And then what just bugs the hell out of me is that I'm starting to hear the chimes about SAFE that we heard the same time a year ago, right? So tell me, is it real?
I think it's real in that they've gotten more senators on board. And so I think there'll be more movement this year, but does it pass in the House? That's really the question. I mean, it's great. Maybe we can get it further along in the Senate, but, you know, our governmental system then requires it to also be passed in the House of Representatives, which I don't know if there's a pathway there. I know a bill has been introduced in the House, but the House hasn't marked it up. So I don't think it's real. I think it's exciting. I think it's good for the market. I mean, we've seen, you know, if you follow the markets, you know, certainly the cannabis stocks have had a nice little run here, but it's really just based on, oh, we're going to vote on it in a few weeks. You know, I mean, that's really the sum of it. I mean, I think rescheduling is much more real. I mean, that is a real thing. We just have to see what the DEA does.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just wonder, and I'm always thinking about this, is why one of the major political parties just don't put their total love and respect and arms around the industry and bring it forward. No one wants, I don't see anybody owning it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, and that's the truth.
Yeah.
I think there are some smarter, younger people in the party who I think might change that. Mm-hmm. You're starting to see some of them, like a Nancy Mace, and others who are, you know, really trying to, you know, make the point like this is a business. And, you know, there's a business opportunity here for a number of our states. But it's, you know, look, it's a thorny issue on the Republican side. But there are very few issues in this country. We're a very divided country. But I think the latest research said that 91% of Americans support medical cannabis in their communities, just medical, not adult use, but support medical. You can't get 91% of Americans to regret anything.
Anything. It's widely acceptable. It's widely acceptable. And you know what? We're in a democracy, or not a true democracy, but we're somewhere in that democracy arena.
Or a constitutional republic. But
You know. And you should get, the people should get what they want, right? And the people that you vote in just don't do what the people want. You know, it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting. This is a wonderful conversation. I loved every second of it, man. And I want to thank
Sam
for being here and being a friend of the show. We're blessed for that. So I really appreciate you for that. I'm Vern Davis. I am your host of Plant Profits. And Plant Profits is proudly brought to you by Protus Global. My guest today was Mr. Jordan Eisenstadt, Senior VP at Marina PR. And Jordan, again, I want to thank you. And I want to thank everyone else for joining us. You can download episodes of Plant Profits by going to CannabisRadio.com or subscribe to the show on all of platforms of podcasts, Apple, Amazon, Google, Spotify, iHeart, everywhere we are there. So do that. And then go to my company, Protus Global, on LinkedIn, on all the social media sites. We are there in force. And you can see how we're building companies and how we're changing the lives of people that we put in those companies at ProtusGlobal.com, ProtusGlobal.com. Until next time, I'm Vern Davis, host of Plant Profits. Cheers.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.